the other low grades, in regard to RD, I want to get brighter with age, and so we'll see if that happens. This presentation, obviously, I'm not going to be talking about a lot of research that we did. You see Tom Wiedergartner's on here. This was really born out of the thing that as we were doing a lot of the mechanical delinter stuff, we sort of backed into it working with Tom. There was a lot of, I guess, strong opinions or ideas about ultra-low gossypol cottonseed. And so I would hear a lot of arguments, either pro or con, in regard to this technology. And it seemed that there was a lot of people working without a lot of understanding or knowledge of really where things were. So, like I said, there was a lot of opinions, but not a lot of data and not a lot of information associated with that. So I'm not going to go into a lot of implications or education on anything other than to talk about the main thing that this is in regards to is gossypol. Gossypol, as you can see in the bottom picture there with the seed, those little pepper, you visually can see the gossypol in the seed. Down here. And of course, it is something that as you binds with the hemoglobin iron, based on age, species, the stress, and the amount of iron and lysine in the diet, it's going to affect different species differently as far as feeding it. Of course, everybody knows, or most everybody knows, that as far as our feeding, the real market is the dairy industry. Right now, that's the primary market is the dairy industry. And really, you would like to have more than just a single industry. When Tom started, the dairy industry was a lot smaller player. A lot of it was crushed, and now a lot of it's fed. But you don't want to have one or two choices. You don't want to have only crushing options and only the dairy industry. You want to try to diversify and see what you can actually expand into. These are the questions that basically, and I'm not including all of them, of course. This is not all encompassing, but these are some of the things that were mentioned. And I'll go through them and at least talk about each one of them. The natural defense of the plant is compromised. Heard that. Ultra-low gossypol is not available for use. There's IP issues. It's all locked up in Texas A&M and some other deal like that. That was one of the comments. It's not approved. The time to market, in other words, it's not approved by APHIS or FDA. It's going to take a long time. This is something that's 20, 30 years out in the future. If ultra-low gossypol technology is so good, why aren't the seed companies putting it into the seed? Ultra-low gossypol technology hurts yield and is only for use in conventional cottonseed. That's another comment or question. There's also one about cross-contamination. You know, what are we going to do with that? The seed that has gossypol and this seed? Ultra-low gossypol seed will negatively impact the value of existing cottonseed. The other vegetable proteins, it's not saying it's negatively impacting other vegetable proteins. The question was, how is cottonseed going to compete against other oil seeds if this technology comes in? Are you going to be able to demand a premium? Is it going to hurt the market? What's going to happen? And lastly, gossypol still remains, so doesn't that prevent using for human consumption? And so those were some of them, and as we go through, the real question is going to be at the top in red, and then I just want to address some of that. I think one of the deals in regard to the natural defense of the plant being compromised, there was a misunderstanding. I think a lot of times as we talk about ultra-low gossypol cottonseed, there's also a conversation about the glandless cottonseed. And so people confuse the regular with the glandless and believe that the ultra-low, the engineered, the GMO here, is the same thing as the glandless. And so they believe that, okay, well, we've done this glandless thing before. It didn't work out. And so they're confusing the ultra-low with the glandless. And it's not. The glandless is a natural mutant. Of course, Curtie Rathor at Texas A&M, noticed that the enzyme was absent in the natural mutant, this delta-cadenine synthase, and basically used the gene silencing technology to block to block it only from the seed. Let me get that. So it's only removed from the seed, and it's not totally removed. As you can see here, regular cotton seed has about 7 to 10,000 parts per million gossypol, and the ultra low is about 250. So it's not totally removed, but that's a great reduction. Ultra low gossypol is not available for use, basically associated with IP. There's IP issues. It's not approved in the time to market. All right, there is levels. World Health Organization, 600 parts per million. FDA, 450 parts per million. The American Association of Feed Control Officials allows less than 400 parts to be sold as low gossypol, which, of course, this would meet. The anticipated deregulation is December 2018. Right now in the Federal Register until February 5th, anybody's free to make comments in regard to the deregulation or the non-regulated status, I should say, of the ultra-low gossypol cottonseed. Right now that's taking place. If everything's favorable, then it's anticipated that it would be deregulated in 2018. And also, to my understanding, there's anticipation that the FDA approval, all that paperwork, is going to come through in 2018 also. Isn't that correct, Tom? Yes. So both FDA and APHIS hurdles, issues, would be cleared. There's just the Federal Register notice where you can go to it. In regard to IP, Cotton Inc. has exclusive rights for licensing and sublicensing the technology. So this is... If you have any questions about that, you can go to Cotton Inc. and ask them about the licensing or sublicensing of it. It's not in some dark cavern, inapproachable. If ultra-low gossypol is so good, why aren't seed companies using it? Yeah, the first one, that's a good question. You can ask them. I would basically, how is the seed company going to benefit by putting this technology in the seed? Right now, with the market structure for the current cotton seed, the real value at this juncture would be with the oil mills. The oil mills would be the primary beneficiaries, because in regard to crushing, you have one or two options. The products you produce has to improve in value, or you have to cut cost. This would cause the caustic to be greatly reduced. That's a cost savings for the oil mill. If everybody had ultra-low gossypol cottonseed, or if it had this, then you could go from there basically to, instead of making crude, which you see on your left, you can make crude, if you will, which you see on your right, which is more like PBSY. And so it greatly reduces the amount of caustic that is needed in the actual processing. The current value to the producer, that right now, there's, because of the structure, because we don't have a market, this is early on in the technology being developed, since there's been a lot of good studies, but right now if a producer planted it, what kind of premium could he expect to get for it? Well, it's not set up for it right now. That has to be established. And so that would be one good reason why they wouldn't put it in. Why put the technology in if I can't get you to pay for it when you're going to go plant it? Ultra-low gossypol cottonseed technology hurts yield and is only used for conventional varieties. That's not true. There's 12 studies across four geographical locations that have shown that the technology does not negatively impact yield, fiber properties, and this was done over three different years. The Coker variety, and I think there's a Stoneville variety that was also done. It can be backcrossed into any variety at any time during seed increase. Conventional varieties will be in the field on an experimental basis in 2019, but the technology is available for any variety. Cross-contamination. Unlike other issues with cross-contamination, this would not be what happens if this gets mixed in with the gossypol. It's what happens if the gossypol got mixed in with this. A gin would handle it like any gin that gins organic and conventional cotton. They would have to handle it in that type of fashion to make sure that you weren't sending it to aquaculture or some other use that conventional cottonseed or gossypol cottonseed is not used for. So you would just have to make sure that the gossypol, the current cottonseed, didn't contaminate the ultra-low. It will negatively impact value of existing cottonseed. That's one. I don't know how expanding your market. There's no doubt that there's a nice need for economic analysis and people that know a lot more about me than economics can sit there and do the analysis and see what the impact is on other things and how everything interacts. There's a need for that. But I've never seen an economic model that says, by the way, if you broaden your customer base, it's going to be negative for you. I don't recall ever seeing anything like that. And if there is, I'd be glad to be educated on that. Obviously, you want to, if you're going from the cattle down here at the bottom to anywhere up in the aquaculture human realm, the margins are much better, and also there's a greater need. And there's been plenty of studies done with aquaculture. I'm not including all these right now. That's something that you can visit with Tom Wiedergartner about. Here's a nice this slide's from Tom. Right now, just if you had if this protein was available, the cottonseed protein for human consumption, you would satisfy the daily protein needs of 600 million people. You're not just making a fiber now, you're making a food. So all the resources you're putting in are going both for food and fiber, and not just food for mature ruminants or the dairy industry, but mature basically for a broad spectrum of anybody that needs protein. You know, there's been a lot of different things that have been looked at, but there does need to be a good economic analysis to say, how is this going to impact and what's going to be the consequence? Can we expect a premium for this? If so, what would that premium be? If Gossypol still remains, doesn't that prevent using for human food? Well, and we always get this question. So this is a very simplistic example. Basically, I just said, if we use the FDA limit of 450 parts per million, and you had a meal, and let's say you took conventional cottonseed right now with the Gossypol, and you ground it up and you put it in a meal and said, okay, how much of this meal can I eat? You know, how much can cottonseed can I put in there and eat this meal and not exceed 450 parts per million? Well, you couldn't have more than 6.4% of that meal consist of the cottonseed. But with the ultra low at 250 parts per million, it could all be cottonseed. You would have to have 1.8 meals in order to exceed the 450. So you can feed it, and it does increase the usage of it. This is a question that I would have is, is Gossypol currently the single biggest factor limiting cottonseed value and utilization? And what value do we have by having Gossypol in the kernel? I'm not talking about the plant. I understand the plant's natural defense, but I've never heard of anybody tell me a good benefit of having that toxin inside the meat in the seed. What is there? What do we gain as an industry by having it there? If you have the ability to remove it, you have that technology to do so, you actually are starting along a process or a path towards expanding markets and going into industries that previously we didn't go. And we're actually making a product that previously we weren't making. You've already been growing it. It's just now whether you're going to remove that toxin from that seed. Like I said, there's a lot of strong emotions and a lot of strong opinions about this, and I'm not necessarily trying to be a pro-advocate for it. The real question is I just thought it needed some data and people to understand where the thing sits. Because it is something that you have the opportunity to make comments on as an industry or as individuals in regard to this technology. Thank you.